Welcome to Pocketoid. Actually, I do need to make a correction just right off the start here. We are actually changing the name. We are no longer Pocketoid. We are Steam Deck-toid. We have heard that we've heard the demands. Everyone is they're not interested in the Nintendo baby toy anymore. They just want the big beefy Steam Deck boy, and that's
huge,
all people care about.
Thick,
they just
veiny
want to play
Steam Deck.
They want to play Witcher 3, but portable, but not like that. They want it to look a little bit better.
Yeah.
So we're gonna
they want to play Doom Eternal, but not like that. They want to play it a different way on the
big
boy machine.
They want to be able to play like Doom 3 on the go.
Yeah. Well,
and
you can play that on the Switch too, actually.
Oh. Well, I mean they probably want to play like all the indie games that they have, like Hades and Binding of Isaac and stuff, you know?
And Subnautica and all those.
Yeah. And people just need a $700 way to do that and have it be easier than
and weigh twice as much as a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. But before we get into all the housekeeping stuff, I just want to say I'm mostly just joking. I think the Steam Deck is a neat device, and it is something that I will look into in the future. At this time, I'm not planning on getting one, but I'm just kind of being a butt. I think
the Steam Deck is a big beta console for virgin cucks, and and the real chads out there already bought a playdate.
We have both purchased a playdate. We were there at the ground up. We were there minute one. We will be getting ours in late 2021, not first quarter 2022. Anyways, I'm Addison, and you can follow me on the internet at Addison_L. And with me, as always, is my lovely dad host.
It's Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at Jackal27.
Yeah. And this is Pocketoid, a handheld gaming and small games loving podcast.
Yes.
And you can follow the show at Pocketoid. You can go see our pinned tweet and join the Discord. That's kind of the main thing right now. We're kind of trying to readjust to the pandemic that is definitely 100% over. We're trying to kind of get back in the swing of things. So
there's also
there's
been a lot of life things. So
it's been a lot of life things. So
it's been a rough couple of months. Jeez.
Right now, just keep being our friends and hang out in the Discord and just live your life and do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any other housekeeping things? I can't think of anything.
I wanted to mention that we normally stream on Tuesdays, but right now we usually stream at my house in my TV room, and right now that is getting repainted, so my whole TV room there is nothing in there. It is just ripped to shreds. Actually, there is something in there. We've been watching horror VHSs on a 20-inch CRT.
Yeah.
That is all we've been doing.
Hell yeah.
And so, yeah, if you've been wondering where the streams are at, that is where the streams are at. They're not happening because there's nowhere to stream right now. So once we rebuild the TV room, hopefully this week, then those will be back. But I'm not making any promises because life is crazy right now.
There's no rules. We're adults. We can do whatever we want. Let's instead of starting off with what we've been playing, I feel like we haven't really done this in a while, but let's just kind of talk for a second about things that we've watched in like the last, I don't know, like month. And
oh, hell yeah.
And throw out some kind of highlights. Do you have any in mind, or do you need a moment?
I watched this movie. It's called The Green Knight. It's about Jesus, and it's really good.
Yeah, I want to see that. I thought I was going to today, and some stuff just kind of happened, so maybe next week.
I'm really surprised by how few people are picking up on the Christology stuff, but I'm also just like, dude, guys, like, Catholics, man, like, that they kind of ruled everything back then. I don't know how you thought chivalry was ever separated from Christology, but it's here. It's all right there. Green Knight's extremely good. It's probably slower than you're expecting. So don't go in expecting an action movie like some of the people in our showing were. I loved watching the Chad bro to catty corner to me in the theater just squirming the entire time. Like, when is something going to happen that is not walking through a forest? Man, that movie is fantastic. It's so good.
Honestly, I'm just going into it expecting some like kind of weird stuff and some very like fun fantasy stuff to look at. Like, not necessarily a lot of action, but like, hey, this has Guillermo del Toro vibes and I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's really great. It's awesome. It's also just like one of the most gorgeous movies I've seen in a long time.
Yes, the trailer, it's just so pretty.
We've also, my wife purchased a collection of VHS, horror VHSs, a lot of them.
She sure did.
We have three suitcases full, and we don't know where to put them, but we have them. And so we've been watching the Friday the 13th films, which I've never seen before. And boy, they're bad movies. Those are bad movies. Yeah. They're fun, though, but they're bad.
They do be bad films.
That's about it for me. What about you?
Okay. Well, let's see. I actually had put this down on my notes. Okay. So I had a couple TV shows I wanted to talk about and one movie. Actually, two movies, now that I think about it. So the two movies, one of them is I have finally seen both Gurren Lagann movies now.
Shit. And those rule.
Man. Hey, what if I told you that the second Gurren Lagann movie kind of reminds me of Fast 9?
Okay. I don't want you to explain any more than that. I just want you to leave it right there.
Okay. You know what? Fine. I will leave it at that. But man, hey, that movie just goes. Like,
yeah, dude.
You just turn it on and they're just like, "Hey, I mean, I guess I say Gurren Lagann spoilers? It's like 15 years old.
Yeah, I don't know. If you don't want to hear Gurren Lagann spoilers, skip ahead a few minutes, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I'll give a second. They're just like, hey, Kamen is dead. What's up? And then, like, stuff just starts happening. And it's just like, about 15 minutes into the movie, you're like, wow, this is a short movie. I guess they're going to just end it now.
Nope.
And you're just like, nope, hey, escalation for an hour and a half. It just keeps going.
And I love how
they're just like throwing galaxies at each other.
Yep.
Like, yeah, this rules. This fucking rules.
And they actually change it a ton from the show. Like, the ending is way different.
Yeah,
and
there was a lot where I was like, I don't remember this.
Yep. Yeah, they even added like a new Gurren form, and boy, it's so good. Sometimes I just watch the finale of that movie on YouTube just
It's so kicks. Good.
It's really good.
Anyways, Gurren Lagann rules. The other movie was earlier this month not this month anymore. It's August at the time of recording.
Yeah.
Beginning of July, I had my birthday, and you and Mitzi got me the hit film that everyone definitely remembers, Tammy and the T-Rex, I think is what the film is called. And I watched it last night. And it is very good. As Paul Walker's one of his finest moments, and Denise Richards' best film ever. And the T-Rex use a payphone. it's very good, and it's one of those instances where a movie is self-aware, but it like kind of works because they know how to handle themselves when they're being self-aware. And I had never seen it before, and it was good. I liked it a lot.
I'm proud of you for watching that.
And then we followed it up with Fast 9 and The Matrix. So
great.
It was quite the movie night. Then a couple shows that I want to just kind of shout out real quick and say that people should check out if they can. The first one that just came out is called Jellystone on HBO Max, and it is a cartoon from the creators of the show Chowder, if you're familiar with that, like early, mid-2000s Cartoon Network show that was very good. So same creators, so it's got a very similar art style and a lot of the same voice actors, but it has like a bunch of old Hanna-Barbera characters like Yogi Bear and Top Cat and Grape Ape.
Oh, nice.
And,
okay.
It's extremely funny. I have only seen like the first couple episodes, but I like it a lot, and I'm very excited about it. The other show that I've been watching is called Documental, and is a Japanese show, reality show that it's on Amazon Prime. You may have already heard of this. It is a competition between comedians trying to see who can last the longest without laughing, and it's like a three strikes you're out kind of rule, and there's a 6-hour time limit, and things just escalate quickly. And I have really, really enjoyed watching it. It's been some of the funniest stuff I've seen in a while. Some of the comedy doesn't hit just for like cultural differences, but like 90% of it I'm just dying, and I think it's a great show and I highly recommend it.
I also want to recommend the Fear Street movies. I forgot about those.
Yes. Yeah, we've been watching those. I still haven't seen the third one, but
the first one. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I hear. And I mean, the second one's better than the first, and I liked the first quite a bit.
So. Yeah, they're just a lot of fun, man. They're just fun.
They are very fun.
Summer slasher horror movies are great, with some really cool stuff to say, too, especially the last one. So
yeah,
you should watch
them. I think I'll probably go back and watch them again come October.
Yeah.
Which, hey, that's 2 months away.
Uh-huh. That's when my child turns 1 year old.
Yeah. Yeah, that child that you had, like, what feels like a month ago.
Yes.
Anyways, so that's just kind of what some stuff we've been watching. But, Jordan, what have you been playing?
I just need to tell you something really quick. Someone just followed me on Twitter, and I was like, who followed me? Who is this? What is this guy named Jokerfied something? I look, and it is definitely Stevie, and his cover photo is that photo of the Sopranos where it says inarticulate Italian screaming.
And, just yep. I just opened my Twitter to see if you are right, and yeah, yep, that... There he is. That's Stevie. I don't know what happened, but he did something yesterday and got banned from Twitter. So nice. I guess this is his alt account.
Anyway, okay, so I actually haven't been playing that much this month. I got diagnosed with a chronic illness. It sucks. And it just made me not really want to play that much this month. It's also why there's been a big delay in the show. I'm sorry, guys. Things are getting a lot better, though. I've been really great the last 4 days, which has felt awesome. I just haven't felt like playing video games that much. But I have been playing Monster Hunter Stories 2. A lot of that. Actually, before I get to that, let me touch on some other things first. We'll save that one for later, because you've also been playing that. In fact, more than I have. So I actually had a little bit of a Game Boy Advance SP renaissance this week. I don't know why, but
it's because it's good.
Yeah, I wanted to play my Game Boy Advance, so I've been playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 and Castlevania Circle of the Moon. I think I'm about to beat Castlevania Circle of the Moon, which is crazy, because I've literally been continuing the same save file since that game came out.
Wow. you're playing the exact same save that you were when it came out?
Yep, in like 2001.
Wow.
It's just weird. It's like, it's one of the few games where I like have been able to pick it up and then like play for an hour and then put it back down for a couple years and then come back to it.
Man.
And now I'm kind of like, you know what? I think it's time to finish this. And so I think I'm going to finish it. But that's a good game. It's very good. It gets annoying when you have to grind for cards sometimes, but I know there are fan hacks out there that fix that. If that bothers you too much, it's really not that bad. It's just a little bit annoying. If you have a guide that tells you where to find certain cards, you can just go kill that monster 6 times and then boom, you've got it. But it's just hard to find them. What was I going to say? The other thing I've been playing, and we haven't recorded in so long, is I picked up Boomerang X for the Nintendo Switch. You know about this, don't you, Addison? A little bit.
Yeah, I watched you play it a little bit, and I saw some of the clips that you posted.
Long it's been. Great.
Yeah. I've seen like some, or heard some other people talk about it on some other podcasts and stuff. Pretty cool, but yeah, I want to hear your take on it.
So it's basically, it's a first-person action game. It's arena based. It has a very cool art style that reminds me of Creature in the Well a little bit. It's like a low poly art style, but there's like no real outlines to everything. It has like a bit of a Samurai Jack look to it, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like where it looks like there's no outlines, but there's a lot of like sketchy lines and stuff. You play as this wanderer who winds up on this island, which appears to be in another world where there has been taken over by these creatures, these like black creatures, and you're trying to find your way off the island and back to your home, and you're using a four-bladed boomerang, and that is your weapon. And it sort of gives you these abilities. The first-person game, I don't know if I mentioned that, it gives you these abilities where you can move very quickly, jump very high, and, slow down time, which is very cool. And basically what you do is you can throw your boomerang, you can teleport to your boomerang's location, and you can slow down time. So it leads to you sort of just flying around the air, fighting off enemy, waves and waves of enemies that all have different cool, unique attack patterns and combat strategies. And it winds up feeling a bit like Doom 2016, actually, mixed with some other stuff. And it's a short game, too. It's only like 3 or 4 hours long. So I've had a really good time with it.
I think you could tell me just anything is like Doom 2016, no matter what it is, and that is going to guarantee that I try it at least a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, it's really good. It's a really, really good game. The fact that it's so short is just perfect. I remember I finished it and I was like, oh great, awesome, it feels great to finish a video game, because when I bought it I felt like, why am I buying this, I'm just tacking another thing on my list, and then it was over and I was like, awesome, this is great. But it even has like a new game plus mode, which is extremely difficult, and I have not gotten very far into that. But I really like this game. It's extremely good. I think that it would probably, like, I can tell it was designed for like mouse and keyboard, because it requires like really twitch reflex, type controls. But I did just fine with it. It's sort of like playing Doom 2016, where you're like, oh my gosh, I need to get a handle on where I'm flying and where I'm, jumping and shooting. But eventually you just kind of get used to it. It also has a pretty hefty auto lock on, just like most first person shooters do. So that helps, but it's a great game. I love it on the Switch. It looks gorgeous. The music's incredible. The gameplay's thrilling, and it's definitely one of the Switch's, new indie darlings. Definitely one of those ones I would say, you should have in your collection, and I'm going to give it an essential. I love it.
Wow. All right. Dang.
It's a good game. Awesome. Once again, that's Boomerang X. It's from, actually published by Devolver Digital. I don't think I said that earlier, and it is, I believe, $20, but I'm sure it'll go on sale for something here pretty soon. It's been out for a month, which means it'll probably be 10 in a couple weeks. But,
Yeah.
even if it's not, I think it's totally worth $20. It's a great game. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, I picked up Super Mario 64. I don't know if you've heard of this game.
Uh-uh.
It's really rare. It sold for like $101.5 million recently.
Oh, it's so cool. Rare. Nothing sounds fishy about that.
Yeah, nothing sounds weird suspicious about that whatsoever. But I picked up a copy of it, and I lucked out and got it for $20.
And nice. You should sell that.
Yeah, for $1 million. Yeah, it's a good game. It's funny because I've played Mario 64 like a million times, but I've never like owned my own physical copy of it. I've only ever played it at a friend's house, or borrowed it from someone, or like played my stepbrother's copy, or had it on like Wii Virtual Console. I've never owned an N64 cartridge of Mario 64. And I was like, you know what? It's time to do that.
I still have also never owned an actual 64 cartridge of it.
Yep.
And like, now that I have that flash cart, I feel a lot less motivated to buy 64 games. But yes. I mean, if I saw a copy of it for $20, then
Yeah. And that was kind of my motivation, as I was just like, I don't really want to buy any more 64 games, but I feel like I just should have Mario 64. It's just something I should have. And so I picked it up, and hey, that game's good. I know you recently played. Did you beat it? Did you wind up finishing it on the Switch?
I did not. Got quite a ways into it, and then got mad, and then other video games happened, and I just never actually went back and finished it.
Yeah, I was curious if you did or not. I think I'm at like 60 stars now, so that's like a little about halfway through, right? Something like that. Yeah. So, it's a good game. I like that game a lot. It's fun. Yeah, I'm better at it than I thought I was. I think the last time I really tried to seriously play it was maybe like when the DS port came out. And so, going back to the 64 controls, I was like, oh, I'm better at this than I remember. Probably because I played so much Odyssey or whatever. And, it's good. It's a great game. I think everyone has probably played it. And if you haven't, what the fuck are you doing? Go play Mario 64. I also got, speaking of things we watched, someone sent me a bunch of Nintendo Power VHSs.
You have to wait for that. I want to watch those with you very bad.
Mitzi and I have watched a couple of them already, but we'll definitely save most of them for I think we should stream them. I think we should hit them up, stream them, watch them all in a row.
Yes, I think we should.
I have like six or seven, so.
I want to watch those so bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which ones I have. I have one that's like a hype VHS for like the launch of the 64. I've got one that's like a
Buy the 64 and both games that are out with it.
Yeah, well, they thought that Shadows of the Empire was launching too with it, but that did not happen.
It didn't.
It has some sick beta Zelda 64 footage though.
Hell yeah!
I've got the Star Fox one, the Diddy Kong Racing one. I've got the inside scoop on Donkey Kong Country. That might be my favorite one I've watched so far. That one was awesome.
I want to watch that Star Fox one.
Watching the Donkey Kong Country one was hilarious because it's just so weird to see like this room full of like 20 something dudes talking about Donkey Kong Country the way we still get hyped about video games now. Like they're just like, you can like go anywhere. It's so crazy. And like all this stuff.
I have a feeling like we're going to watch this and it's going to be like, yeah, this is cool. And then like 10 minutes in, I'm just going to be like, oh, I'm depressed.
I want to go back.
Yeah.
I've also got the Banjo-Kazooie tape. I'm trying to think what else there is. I can't remember all of it, but yeah, we'll check them all out on the stream sometime. I can't remember the name of the guy who sent me those, but I'll do a tweet thanking him when I have a working cell phone again. That's another story. All right. So other than those, it's mostly been... Oh, I also picked up Dragon Ball Fusions for the 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to tell you about this for a while, so I can't forget this one. Addison, you need to play this video game. I think you would love it.
Yeah, it sounds real dumb in like the best kind of way.
It's so dumb. It's so great. It's basically Pokemon, but with Dragon Ball Z fighters. And you can fuse your fighters together, and you can make a Gohan Piccolo fusion or a Krillin Kid Goku fusion.
I just want to collect every single possible fusion that you can do with Mr. Satan.
Yeah, he has a few. There are a few of him that you can do. And you like your main character can fuse with anyone, which is just incredible. That game's great. And it just has like it's not even like that deep as far as like narrative goes or even exploration, but it's just really addicting in an odd way to like keep fighting people, finding new fighters and like sticking them together and seeing what they look like. Man, I like that game
a
lot.
That does sound pretty fun. I can't lie.
Dragon Ball Fusions for the 3DS. I think that game has not really gone up in price quite yet. It's still hovering around $20-$30. So if you can find a copy of it for a decent price, I found one locally for $15. But I have another that I'd already bought and I'm going to resell. So if you see it for a decent price out there, I think it's one of those games in a few years that'll probably go up in price. So I would recommend picking it up. It's great. It's a lot of fun. But other than those, it's been Monster Hunter Stories 2, which I'll save because I want to ask you what you've been playing because I know it's on your list as well. So what have you been playing, Addison?
All right. Well, let's see. I'm pulling up my notes here. I guess the first thing I'll start off with is Pokemon Unite.
Yes. Everyone's been talking about this, and I haven't even touched it.
So this came out about a week ago now, and it is a free-to-play game on the Nintendo Switch. They are planning to bring it to mobile, but I don't think it will be anywhere else, just mobile and Switch. And it is baby's first MOBA. And so if you're not familiar with MOBAs, that's what like Dota 2 and League of Legends and Heroes of the Storm, those are all MOBAs.
I hear that Machamp is busted.
Gengar is busted.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Gengar is real busted. both teams are just always going to have a Gengar on them.
That's great. Is it like the original 150, or is it like, does it span
no, the gauntlet? No.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's like a select few. I don't know the exact number. There's probably like maybe about like 15 different ones. And they already, within the first week, added a new one. They added Garvador.
Nice.
I'm sure
you're happy to see that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You go through the tutorial and they let you choose between like three different ones to get. And then after that, you can buy licenses for other Pokemon with one of the currencies. But they also have like a selection of ones that are free to everyone and ones that are temporarily free that they kind of rotate out. So you can like try them if you're thinking about buying them. Mm. But if you're not familiar with MOBAs, basically a short version is you are leveling up your characters by killing creeps. And there are usually about 2-3 lanes. And you just have you and a team against another team of characters, and you have like abilities on cooldown, and it's a strategy action kind of game.
Yeah.
So in this one, you are killing the creeps and the enemies, and you're collecting points from doing that, and then you're going up to the enemy's goals and dunking those points before they can attack you and stop you from dunking them. And then so the team with the most points at the end wins.
Okay, I need to ask you a question because I've never played a MOBA before. Are these terms in just this game, or just like are they general terms for the genre? Because creeps and dunking is just sounds weird when you're talking about Pokemon.
So creeps is a general MOBA term. That's just okay. like ads and MMOs.
Okay, got it.
So they're just like CPU enemies that you attack just to, you know, build up your experience and level your character.
Got it.
So dunking, though, what you're doing is, you know, you're collecting the points and you are literally like Pokemon are like jumping up and dunking the points. Like, like it's a literal dunk. So I put here in my notes, I referred to this game as that poison you love to hate with a candy Pokemon shell, because,
great.
MOBAs are, people have some strong feelings about them, and they can be very toxic, but the nice thing with this one is like the communication is extremely limited. So like, I don't have people cursing me out in languages I don't understand for like things that are out of my control. But at the same time, something that is both a plus and a minus for this is like, this is a free to play Pokemon game, and the MOBA aspect is secondary. So
yeah,
a lot of people are coming into this and have no idea how to play a MOBA. So that leads to situations where you're on a team with people that do know how to play the game, and like you just demolish the other team, or you're on a team with people that don't know how to play and you're just watching them like just feed the other team, and you just can't do anything because you're playing with a bunch of children that don't know how to play, and you're just like, well, I don't know why I'm here. Something that has kind of bothered me about the game is there's too many currencies.
Yeah, that's what I've heard from a lot of people.
Like, there's, like, seriously, I think, like, 5 currencies, and it just drives me crazy. And also, there's, like, some kind of play-to-win stuff, because you can have, like, items set on your Pokemon. So you have, like, an active item that you use with a button press, and then you have some passive held items. So it's a lot like how in the Pokemon games you can use an antidote on your Pokemon, but your Pokemon can also hold like an experience share or something.
Okay.
And so some of those, like, people can just spend money and make their held items like
gross.
Overpowered. And so I'm hoping that they do something about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's Pokemon Unite. I'm having a good time with it. I forgot a very key part of this. The matches, the standard matches are like 10 minutes long, and that made this so much easier for me to play because, like league matches and Dota matches, those take like between 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
Ooh.
Like, so it's so much easier to just get in here and play like a couple 10 minute matches and just like not have to worry about it, which really lends itself well to the portable aspect of this game because you're playing on a Switch or on mobile in the future. And then there's also even a quick type match where matches are only 5 minutes, and there's also some other tweaks to that. But I just think that was like one of the best things that they did for this game was make the matches short. So glad they did that.
Yeah.
I had just a couple other things I wanted to talk about. I had a few people recommend some Apple Arcade games to me, and I've been kind of slowly going through a lot of those. But the one that I want to talk about today is Pinball Wizard.
Hell yeah, so that sounds great.
Last time I talked about Zombie Rollers, which was a pinball tower defense roguelike. This one is a just pinball RPG roguelike. And so,
hell yeah. Is that on any other platforms? Because I'm immediately sold.
That is a good question. Let me
I'll look it up. You don't have to look.
Okay. Anyways, Pinball Wizard, instead of having a ball like you would in like pinball or zombie rollers, the wizard is the ball. And so, you know, you're hitting them with the paddles and having them get knocked into the enemies and dealing damage that way to them. But the enemies can also deal damage right back to them. But you also have like some abilities and like spells that you can trigger that you kind of slowly unlock more of and increase the power of as you go, because the whole game you're trying to climb this tower, and so you kind of gradually make progress on it, and at the end of each run, you all your experience that you've collected and all of your currency that you've collected, they go into the wizard, and so he levels up and unlocks some new abilities and increases his stats. And
you can use it is only on iOS and Mac computers. That sucks.
Well,
let's hope that changes.
I don't know when it came out, but I would not be surprised to see it come to other platforms in the future. And then you use that currency also to just make different things stronger on your wizard. Unlike zombie rollers, this one has a daily challenge, which is very much welcome, because I wish zombie rollers had a daily challenge. But
yeah,
it's kind of weird because it's a daily challenge that you can attempt as many times as you want, which I don't see that very often in games with daily challenges. And it kind of like almost defeats the purpose because like,
yeah, for sure. That's what I would think.
If you just aren't happy with your score, you can just go back and do it again and just keep doing it again over and over again until you have, you know, the placement and the leaderboard that you want. So I thought that was kind of odd. Let's see. I think that was pretty much it though on that. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is, I have been playing my Mister some more.
Oh, nice.
I made a purchase. I bought a aluminum case off of Mr. Add-ons for it. And last weekend I installed that and just kind of spent a good, pretty good chunk of the day just playing old video games. the case, it was, you know, I think most people would look at it and be like, hey, that's a lot of money for that, but
yeah.
I'm happy with it because it just really makes the Mister look a lot cleaner, and I like the look better with it in there, and it protects everything, and also you don't need the fan anymore, so yeah. You have like a thermal pad on top of the CPU, and then that's going in directly into the aluminum on the case, and then it just kind of dissipates throughout the case. And so it's 100% quiet. Like, it wasn't loud before, but like you could hear the fan, and like now it's just 100% quiet. I just think it looks great. They also have the Jotego updates in the updater script now, and so that has made that whole process a lot easier. And I haven't played it yet, but this week one of the releases through Jotego was Wrestle War, the arcade version, and I'm very excited to play that. And let's see, I've been playing Super Metroid, but like this fan version of it that's like kind of stylized after the GBA Metroid games.
Yeah.
And so that's been really fun. Now. Yeah, it's very good. I'm actually like I played it for a long time last weekend. I hate to admit it, but I've never beat Super Metroid. And
a lot of people haven't. That's nothing. That's I only beat it for the first time, I think, last year.
So yeah,
that's that's a pretty normal thing. It's really short. It's only like I didn't realize that when I finished it, but it's only like 6 or 7 hours long.
Yeah, I'm at least like 25% of the way through. I think probably a little bit more. But man, that GBA version of the game is just very good.
I want to try that out. I think I downloaded that fan hack at one point, but it's gotten lost in my folders of translations and things. So I want to try that out sometime.
Well, I think I got it from you.
Oh.
So I think you have it on your mister.
You're probably right.
And then they had the WonderSwan core come out recently, and so I loaded a bunch of WonderSwan games on there, and I kind of went through each of those and tested them out for a bit.
Yeah.
And the WonderSwan core is fantastic, does a really good job. But most of those games, I was like, man, I should get fan translations for these because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, there's just not that many out there.
Yeah, I thought on a lot of those games, I thought I would kind of be able to understand them more, but I did not.
You know that there's a Chopper mystery dungeon game with Chopper from One Piece?
I think maybe you told me that before.
I don't think it's translated, but I really want to play that.
Yeah, that's a bummer. The highlights for me was there's like a Tekken card game that seems pretty cool. I didn't really 100% understand what I was doing, but I was like, man, this is a very cool concept and I like this a lot. And the other one was there's two more. There's like a One Piece kind of like Smash kind of style game, and that was really cool. That was fun. That was like
that
a
one you can play
color
easily
game
without the translation.
Yeah, that was one where I was like, I can just play this, it's fine. And then there's like a Saint Seiya game that is like kind of like a River City Ransom RPG kind of style
That's
game.
Dope.
And like, yeah, it seemed really cool, but I was like, man, I wonder if there's a fan translation because I have no idea what's happening. But yeah, it seemed really cool. And I just also want to take a second to say that I just, between the Switch and the Mister, I just love that 8-bit Do Pro 2 controller.
Yes.
It's just so good. I love that controller so much. It's, I think, my favorite controller of all time now.
It's a really good controller.
It just feels so good, and I love how easily I can switch it between the Mister and my Switch and computer and whatever I need to. It's just a fantastic controller. I can't even begin to think of anything. I think the only thing I can think of that I would want to change about it is adding NFC for Amiibo.
Yeah.
And I mean, this isn't something that they can do, but I wish I could wake my Switch up with it like you can the Pro Controller.
Yeah, that's like the only thing I wish I could do with it. But yeah,
I think that's like a proprietary thing. I don't think Nintendo allows other people to do that for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are like the only very minimal complaints I have about that controller. But that was pretty much it. I just had like a couple other little note things in here of that I'm very excited for the Sega Picross game coming out, I think, this week. So excited to have another Picross game on my Switch.
Fine, I guess I'll play a Picross game.
Hey, there's a demo out if you want to get that first.
I know what it is, Addison. I know what Picross do.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Guess I'll just play it.
I also had a moment last night where, I don't know if you've ever had one of these where you just kind of get inside your head a little too much and you just like get kind of sad, but like not that sad, but you're just like, man, nothing is really real if you think about it. And, I'm an adult and like the only thing that can stop me from doing really anything is just cops, and there's no cops in my house. And, I've got my Switch right here. Like, I have a credit card. I can just buy video games whenever I want. I don't have to ask anyone. And so I saw something that made me think of Ion Fury, and then I bought Ion Fury.
Yeah.
I just did it. I just said, hey, I can just do this. I'm an adult. I can just do it. And then I did it, and I felt bad about it. But I'm going to play that some more and probably talk about it next time.
Well, I'm proud of you for one. I like that game a lot.
It seems pretty cool. I like the vibe. So Monster Hunter Stories.
It's good.
Yeah. how far into it are you?
I think I just beat Nargacuga, so I think I'm just about to leave the second village. If I had to guess, I could be wrong.
Oh, okay. You're not that much. You're not that far behind me then.
That makes me sad because I wish this game would move a little faster. It's a great game. I'm really enjoying it. It's gorgeous. It's a lot of fun. I love the new quality of life improvements over the first game. My only complaint is that it's moved at a slower pace than the first game. I think just because they expanded it, you know, because it's on the Switch. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I think that was one of the things that I took for granted about the first game was I just loved how much it was like, all right, run out of the village, go do like one quest. Okay, it's time to move on to the next location. and also a new set of monsters. Cause I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm like over 10 hours in, you know, I think I'm maybe even 15 hours in. And I'm like, I'm still using what feel like starter monsters. I want new monsters to play with, please. So, it's just a little bit of a pacing issue. And that's been my only negative about the game, but everything else has been a lot of fun and really good.
Man, I hadn't really thought about that the monster selection has felt kind of limited, but I guess it kind of has.
Yeah, and I think they haven't added, from what I can tell, a ton of new monsters, which is understandable. I know they're hard to add, and you're also now upgrading all your monsters from the previous game to HD. I get that.
Yeah.
But also it's like, it's just like, and the game just needs to move a little faster, I feel like. And so I've kind of given up on, you know, in the first game, I would take a lot more. I would like take my time doing things. I would run and catch, like run to every rare den that I saw, and I would just catch everything, you know. And now I'm kind of like, I'm just going to run to each story location until I move on to where I want to get to next, because I'm sick of being here.
Yeah.
But like, I'm in the second village, and I think I'm like, they sent me on like four or five different go fight the monster quests. And I was like, dude, please. Like, I'm ready to do something new.
They do a lot of those where you go back to the village elder and you're like, what about now? Can I do the trial now? And he's like, go kill one of these. It's like, oh my God, I would just go play Monster Hunter if that's what I wanted.
The first game did that sort of, but it was much more like, go explore this area. Oh, and the boss of this area is a Tigrex, you know? It wasn't so much like, go run through this area, fight a boss, go back to the village. Now run through another area that looks the same and fight another boss, go back to the village, you know, repeat. But that could change later on. That might just be because I'm not at the beginning, but I'm still towards, you know, the initial parts of the game. Like, I haven't even hatched my Rathalos yet, which is like the main plot of the game. So this could easily change down the road, but, so far I've been like, hey, I wish that this did not have such a slow beginning. And I feel like that's probably going to turn a lot of people off too, because I feel like the demo was like the slowest area of the game, and that's what the demo was. So anyway,
at the same time though, like it just feels like such a chill and comfy
yes.
game, and like yes. I really like the environments that you're exploring. I think the villages are gorgeous, and like the big wild areas are fun to explore, and they have like some kind of neat little hidden treasures and like
yep.
lots of resources to collect and stuff.
I like the addition of like the bottle cap shop, so you like can find mm-hmm. these bottle cap dungeons and then like buy equipment that it feels like you shouldn't be able to have yet or whatever. That's the thing is like, yes, it has a bit of a slow beginning. It's a good thing that the game that you're playing is so fun and the environments are so great and there's a lot of cool things to do, even though the pacing is a little slower than you might think. It's also just the difference between a handheld RPG and a console RPG, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Something I wanted to ask you is something that surprised me about this game is it connects to the first one a lot more than I had expected it to, because, you know, they said that this game was going to be, you know, 100 years after the first one, and so everything I had really seen seemed to indicate to me that it was just going to be, you know, the same universe, but you're good if you haven't played the first one, which
so
I think
I need
is...
I need to apologize to you because I think I told you wrong. As I've played more of the game, I've discovered I somehow misheard something, I think. I don't think it's 100 years in the future. I think it's pretty recently after the first game. And also, Red is not the main character from the first game. Somebody said that somewhere. I think someone said it during Treehouse or something, and they were mistaken. Because I've this whole time been like, this guy Red, he was the main character from the first game. It isn't like there's things here that aren't adding up. Like this isn't the village from the first game. This isn't. And then like I looked it up and someone was like, no, yeah, someone misspoke. He's not the main character from the first game.
Okay. All right. So then like a lot of these flashbacks that I've been seeing, you haven't been seeing those and being
no.
like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember this character. This is
nope.
Okay, this whole time I was like seeing these moments, I'm like, I bet that's was like really emotional for Jordan, like
nope,
because he okay. All right, well,
there are characters I found out from the first game who do come in later on, but they're like a very similar age to what they were in that first game, so like somebody,
well, I thought that was just coming into like they're not human and they age differently.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. No, somebody messed up.
All right. I'm just kind of looking.
But it's also confusing too, because like in the first game, you play as this dude who is like a well-known legendary rider who has red hair and rides a Rathalos with a scar on its face named Ratha. And in this game, you are the grandchild of a character named Red who rides a Rathalos with a scar on its face named Ratha. And it's like,
what a weird choice.
Yes, it's a very weird choice. So yeah, you can see where that confusion would be pretty easy for anyone to make. I've seen several people say that, like online, just be like, wait, so is the main character is the main character's grandparent the character from the first game? And everyone's like, no. So anyway, so yeah, it does kind of stand on its own. You really don't need to play the first game.
I have some other kind of small to less small complaints that I want to address. I feel like, tell me if I'm wrong, because sometimes I don't really think I see frame rate stuff as well as other people, but like I feel like the frame rate kind of dips at moments, like especially in that second village.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Would say that's my biggest complaint, probably. Well, I don't know, because it doesn't bother me that much. It's a turn-based RPG.
And yeah,
it really runs at about, like, I'd say, like, Breath of the Wild frame rate. So there are sections where it's going to dip, but it's really not, like, horrible. It's just something you have to get used to. This game also is available on PC, so I think it was probably... They were probably developing it thinking like, well, we're building it for the Switch, but it's going to be on other platforms eventually. So that wasn't as much of a concern for them. And the first game, also had an uncapped frame rate and would dip sometimes on the 3DS. So it could just be, you know, what they decided to do. But yeah, I don't remember it dipping this much though. So like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's horrible, but yeah, there are times where it drops below 30 a little bit in the village.
And it's not like, it's not make it or break it or anything.
No.
But like, it is kind of annoying.
Yeah. And if you're one of those people that it really bothers you, like, yeah, it might bug you. I wish they would have just capped it at 30. That would have been, that's what they should have done.
That second village is kind of jarring. Like, you get in there and it's like, man, like, this looks pretty, but
it should
kind of wish it ran a little
like
better.
Yeah, same. I think I've noticed I won't say that because I can't remember which one it was. I think I've noticed that it drops frames less either in handheld or console, but I've been playing handheld so long now, I can't remember which one was which. So
I kind of think it, because I've done like a pretty good mix of both. I think it drops it more in handheld, but
I think you might be right.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Where did my notes go? Oh,
Can I mention a couple of improvements that you wouldn't pick up on from the first game that I love?
Yeah, definitely.
I love the addition of weapon types to combat. That is awesome. They didn't have that in the first game, so you really didn't have any reason to use one weapon type over the other, other than like the skills it had. But I love in this game how they've added like a paper, scissors, rock thing where some weapons are more effective against certain monsters and some weapons aren't. And now you can switch weapons in the middle of combat, which is awesome. So you're basically constantly juggling three different weapon types. I love that. That's really cool. It's great. It like adds to the paper, scissors, rock element that was already there. It's good. Also, now the monster fusions, you can move. You can move like monster skills wherever you want to on the monster that's inheriting the skill. In the first game, it had to be in that set location of where it was on the first monster.
Okay.
And so it could make it a grind to find, if you really wanted to put the right skill on the right monster, you had to find one that had like an open slot in the right spot. But in this one, it's like, you can move those skills around anywhere. It makes monster fusions way easier, but they've also balanced it too, to where it's, you know, you can't like make something that's super broken. Like now you can unlock, you have to unlock skills by leveling up and things like that. But yeah, there's a lot of little improvements here and there that, that really do make the game flow a bit better and just feel a little bit more polished, than the first game. It feels a lot less, grindy than the first game did in some instances, especially like breeding monsters and stuff. So that's good. I like that stuff. I like giving my bear the ability to breathe fire. Good stuff.
that is pretty good.
I love an Arzeros
yet,
that can do a big.
I really want to.
Yeah, I love an Arzeros that can shoot a big fireball. It's good stuff. Anyway, sorry I interrupted you. What were you gonna say?
I named my Arzeros Yogi.
Yeah, that's so good.
Oh,
you can also rename monsters anytime you want to now, which is nice. Instead of just having to choose when you first hatch them. That's like a little thing, but I was like, thank you. Because there were times I'd be like, I don't want to name this monster. And then later I'd be like, wait, I actually want this one on my team, but now I can't name him. And it made me sad. But now you can just name him whenever you want. It's great.
So my second biggest complaint, and I can't remember if this happens when it's docked as well, but I know it happens handheld. Because, you know, one of the big perks of playing it handheld is, you know, you can just hit that power button and just suspend the game.
I know exactly what you're about
to say.
I know what you're
going to say. When you do that, your Switch, it disconnects from the internet. And so every time you come back to the game, it's like, hey, you disconnected.
Yeah.
Like, all right, thanks.
Why
I
does
don't
it do
care.
That? Why does
Why?
It do this?
Why do you need to do that?
like I mean, it really is not like an inconvenience in any meaningful way, but it's just kind of annoying.
It's just
that,
yeah,
every
it's
time
just
you
like
open
that,
the game, it says, hey, you disconnected from the internet, and you have to hit okay. And you're like,
it's just, yeah,
why?
It's like just an annoyance that like does not need to be there. It's like adds another button press to getting back into the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's not some earth-shattering thing, but it is annoying.
It
it's
is.
Like, damn, I understand. Please stop.
I also don't know why it's connected to the internet all the time. I mean, I haven't done any of the online co-op stuff or any of that yet, So yeah. I'm like, maybe I can turn that off somehow, but it's annoying.
If you find out, you let me know. Okay. It is very annoying. But my biggest complaint is I just wish I had more control over my party members. Because sometimes I'm just like, hey, why are you doing that? Why'd you do that? Like, you can see that this monster is constantly using speed attacks.
Yes.
Why would you do that?
So like, that kind you're of
being I dumb.
I completely understand that frustration because it's like you. So if you don't know, the game uses a paper, scissors, rock battle mechanic where like you can choose from speed, technical, or power attacks. And it's like speed's effective against power, power's effective against technical, technical's effective against speed. So you have to pick the right attacks. And if you're fighting an enemy monster who, for instance, you know, and it's supposed to kind of mirror the way that in a Monster Hunter game, you learn a monster's behaviors, right? So in this game, mm-hmm. you learn how to predict what kind of attacks they're going to use.
And like,
but your monster is your monster, like your the one that you have with you is CPU controlled, sort of. And so he will wind up using a lot of stuff that sometimes you're like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Why are you using technical attacks right now and getting your ass kicked?
Yeah.
I
could be doing another attack right now, but I have to heal you.
But I will also say that also plays into part of how the game is supposed to play, because you're also supposed to keep in mind the AI of the monster that you're using as well, like how that monster attacks. And so like if you're fighting a technical monster,
I mean,
you're technically supposed to switch to a power monster.
Okay, I get that, but how come my not monster teammates also be stupid sometimes?
That is actually, I was going to mention that is, okay, another thing is, before I get to that, you also can, you know, like I said, give your monster different skills. And I believe if you give your monster more power-based skills, they will attack with more power-based attacks. And one thing that can actually help with this is, you know, if you give a monster, like the skills that a monster can actually use will have different, you know, will be either speed, technical, or power-based. And you can command them to use those skills and when. And so what can be helpful is if you're fighting a monster that uses, I really want to use this monster right now, they usually attack with technical attacks, but I want him to use power, you can command him to use a power skill if he's learned it. Does that make sense?
Yes. You can do that, but you don't have any control over your monster partner or their monster.
So that's something I wanted to mention is new to this game is you can have a partner that is fighting alongside with their own monster. And I think it's a cool mechanic. They obviously put it in here because they want people to play co-op. I like it. But also, I find it a little frustrating, and I also find that it throws off a bit of the balance of the battles from the first game. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, when you always knew that the monster you were fighting was going to be either attacking you, the rider, or your monster, you could plan much easier, you know, what your strategy was going to be. Now you're like, you don't know. There's a whole range of people that monster could attack, right?
Yeah,
no idea what those people are going to do.
I feel like I'm kind of gambling sometimes with some of my move decisions.
And I don't know if there's a way to plan for that or adjust for that. Like, for instance, I found that I have whatever the elf boy's name, I can't remember. You know
it doesn't
about.
Matter.
the silver-haired guy.
Yeah.
I have found that he like constantly uses power attacks. And so I've just kind of planned around that. But at the same time, I'm like, I feel like it throws off the strategy a little bit. And I wish I could just choose to fight with just me and my monster and leave it at that. But, you know, whatever.
Because like I get a lot of Dragon Quest vibes from this game, except mm-hmm. with the combat.
Yes.
In the combat, I'm like, I wish this was more like Dragon Quest.
And in the first game it really did feel like that, because it was like you always had control over your hunter, and then eventually as you kind of built your monsters up, the monsters you were going to use, they would have the skills that you wanted, and you would know their behaviors enough that you would be able to rotate them out effectively. But I really feel like these AI party members they've thrown in now, which you only usually have one is what I've seen so far, this AI party member along with their monster is throwing off my strategies. And also, I can't plan for who the opposing monster is going to attack as easily.
Yep.
You know, it's like they can attack. Now, it used to be I have a 50-50 chance of who they're going to attack. But now it's like I have a 1 in 4 chance of figuring out who they're going to attack. And it's weird. Maybe there'll be more stuff with that down the line where that becomes easier, or less annoying at least. Cause right now at the beginning of the game, it really doesn't matter that much. You can kind of brute force your way through, you know, any fight, but towards the end of the game in the first one, you really had to be planning for like, okay, this dude is doing this on this turn. I need to have control of what's going to happen next in this turn or I'm dead, you know? And so like when you fight fucking Rajang in the first game, like you have to be planning for what he's going to be doing every single turn. And if there was any ambiguity of what could happen, you're gone. So I'm hoping as the game progresses, this is less of an issue, but I guess we'll see. So anyway, I would say I forgot about that actually. So I'm glad you brought it up, but that's probably my biggest complaint about this newest one, as well. So. But it's, and I don't want to sound like we're complaining too much because it's a great game and I'm having a great time with it. But
there yeah, it is. I like it quite a bit. I don't know what you would give it, but I would give it a buy it.
Yes, I would absolutely give it a buy it. It's a great RPG. It's a great addition to the Switch. We probably shouldn't even be reviewing it yet because we're not even that far into it.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a good game. Who's gonna stop us?
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Call the cops?
Call them. I'll fight them.
All right.
All right. So, how long have we been going? Let's do some questions.
Oh, we have some?
We've got a couple on Twitter that we never used.
I think we did on Discord as well, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think so.
We have one that I think we saved from even the last time we recorded, which was like a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
You do Twitter, I'll do Discord.
Okay. So on Twitter, the first one is from Coop to Gravy, and they asked, what's your favorite boss fight in a recent game?
Oh, we already did that one last time.
Oh, we did do that one. You're right. Cause yep. I just had that memory rush back to me. All right. Forget that. Let's see. What's this username? At only that Matt asks, what makes a good handheld system?
Ooh, that's a good question.
So, for me, a lot of things come to mind. The main ones that immediately come to mind, like at the very tippy top, is going to be games that are, you know, interesting. That's, you know, any handheld or console, you need to have games because that's what a handheld or a console does. It plays games.
Yeah.
And, but to kind of expand on that, it needs to have games that you can easily dip in and out of. So, you know, something like with Tetris DS, like you can play that for hours or you can play it for like 5 minutes. Animal Crossing, you can just jump in there and do a couple things or, you know, you can play it forever if you want.
Yeah.
Pokemon, same thing. You can do a little bit of grinding or you can go get like 3 badges in a row. Some other things that come to mind is having a handheld that has a good form factor.
Yeah.
So like the Game Boy Advance SP is like the like shining example of a good form factor. That clamshell design, that backlight, and a rechargeable battery. I mean, some of those are not form factor things, but the fact that you can just easily have that and have a game in there and just carry it easily with you. The Switch, you can't really put that in your pocket, but it easily can be thrown into a bag and it's light enough that it just, you don't have to think about it too much.
I don't think the Switch is a good handheld personally.
What?
I wish I did. I said, I don't think the Switch is a good handheld personally. I wish I did. I think it's a good console.
I don't think it's as...
It falls short.
Yeah. I mean, as a handheld, it has some things that it lacks, but I think it's as easily portable as an iPad.
And, I guess that's true.
Like, I don't know. I don't think it's all that bad to just, you know, throw in a bag and take with you.
Yeah.
Doesn't really bother me too much. And if it was small enough to put in my pocket, I don't know that I would enjoy playing it as much as I do, because then you're going to have a lot of other sacrifices in that form factor that you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
So
I think mine, like my biggest thing that I think a lot of people overlook, especially these days, is boot up time. Like the time it takes to go from the system is asleep or off to you are playing a game. Like I saw a video recently, YouTuber I really like, I wish I could remember their names. Sorry. It's actually the video that got me back into using my Game Boy Advance SP, but he just like did a video about, he usually does like videos on like, you know, emulation handhelds and stuff like that. But he just did a video about the Game Boy Advance SP and was like, this is why I think this console's cool. And he had never had one when he was a kid. So this was all like fresh. He was like, this console's amazing. I don't have any nostalgia for it. Here's why it's great. And he did this video. It was like boot up time to get into Pokemon from the time you turn on the GBA SP versus like one of his emulation consoles. And it like took 10-15 seconds to just get into the game, you know, from one of these handhelds. And I've just seen a lot of like newer devices where it's like you got to go through a menu or find the game you want to play, or even then it has to like wake up from sleep and it takes a while. But I think Nintendo especially has always done a really good job with consoles that you can just like boom, bam, you're like in the game. And that makes it a good handheld, because you never know, you might only have like, you know, 5 minutes to play something. So I always appreciate that.
That's a really good point. I think Nintendo has always been pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I think that's like probably a big part of the reason why the Switch's UI is so bare bones and clean.
Yep. The only Nintendo consoles I feel like doesn't do a great job with that is the 3DS. And that's only if it's like you're
consoles or handhelds. Consoles and handhelds.
Well, because the only Nintendo handhelds I feel like I've done a bad job of that is the 3DS.
Okay.
Because if you're booting up a new game,
hey, remember booting up the Wii U?
Dear God, I would love to not remember that. It was like, almost 30 seconds? It was crazy.
It was a long time. Eventually like make it better, but
it was still bad.
It was still not good.
No.
I wonder what that boot time is going to be like for the Steam Deck. And then also additionally to that, I wonder what the boot time will be like, say, 2 years after the Steam Deck has been out.
That's like, one of my concerns about the Steam Deck is, I just find that like the more complicated things that a device can do, the more potential there is for little bugs and little inconveniences and little slowdowns to accumulate and start happening over time.
I mean, it's Steam, so like I trust them more than I would trust like a lot of other companies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
But like, yeah,
they're kind of like the ideal ones to do it. Like I think it'll be pretty cool. I'm just a little skeptical. So.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was going to say.
Okay. What's the other question?
That was it. So
okay.
We're ready for Discord.
Okay. In Discord, Robo Addy asked us, what's your worst horror story from lending a game to family or friends?
I don't really have one, I don't think, other than just like I've probably lent someone something and not gotten it back.
Yeah. I had a policy when I was a kid not to... Well, I'll let you finish what you were saying first.
I was just going to say, like, the worst I can think of was I let a friend borrow a season of Aqua Teen Hunger Force and their dog, like, chewed up the case. But, like, the discs were totally fine. And I was like, well, that sucks, but whatever, I guess. But most of my friends that I feel comfortable letting borrow things, they're usually pretty good. So
when I was a kid, I developed a policy to never let friends borrow anything. After I let our neighbor friend, Neil, play my Pokemon Blue. And I said, you can play this as long as you do not hit the save button. And he only had it for like an afternoon at our house. And guess what he fucking did?
He saved. He hit the save button.
He saved over my like 100-hour Pokemon Blue save, my original save. And ever since that point, I had a policy to never let anyone play a game of mine that only had one save file, and to also never lend anyone any of my games again, as much of a dick as that might have made me sound. I had someone, my brother's friends, who came over when I was in high school. I had bought Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes, for the Nintendo GameCube. It had just released that weekend. I was very excited. I played it for one day. My brother's friends came over and were like, oh man, can we borrow this? And I said, no, you may not borrow it. I'm sorry. This is, I don't lend games to people, et cetera, et cetera. When they left the next day to get picked up by their parents, my Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes, just vanished. Who knows where it went? I tried everything I could to get it back, and I never saw my copy of Twin Snakes ever again. And I'm still fucking salty about that to this day.
Because it's like $100 or like $150 game now.
Yep. It's a very expensive game, and I sure would have liked to have played it. Never got a chance to. It was going to be my first Metal Gear Solid.
And well, Jordan, you can borrow my copy of Twin Snakes sometime if you would like. I know there's at least one other question in here.
Yes, there is. Oh, there's one that you asked me. Yes. And I put it in the chat so we'd remember to talk about it on the show, which was, what other genres need a Monster Hunter spinoff?
So immediately, Das Whalebeard said Musou.
Yeah.
which they also said, so that maybe I'll like the combat.
Yeah, that'd be fun, actually.
I think a Monster Hunter Musou would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would. I'm like picturing a battlefield just like full. Well, because you couldn't do like 100 Nargacougas. So really, you should do like a bunch of the smaller monsters with like one,
as the boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. I'd be down for that.
RoboAddy also said Tower Defense. Which, I mean, they kind of have that with the Rampages and Rise.
That is sort of what that is. It's kind of funny that he would say that because they just basically did exactly that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if they play Rise or not, but
the one that I came up with when you originally asked me was, I said, I've always wanted a Monster Hunter farming sim.
Yes.
Where you kind of like, you just sort of have, like, you're like, it's about you working in the village and like, either making stuff or selling stuff to the hunters that go out to hunt. And you could even like get monsters on your farm to train, to help with different tasks. It just sounds nice to hang out in that world.
So or kind maybe of like a monster, a Monster Hunter Room Factory.
Yes. And like, you even have to like, what if you, I think I even mentioned this to you, is like, you know, since you're not a hunter, but you still have to like go out and gather stuff. You like have to go to a monster nest to get eggs or whatever. And even like the smaller monsters that we're like used to killing in two hits are like way harder to fight. And it's like, you know, fighting even something like a great Jaggy is like a huge ordeal, like a huge boss.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
I like that idea a lot. So that's like kind of my default answer. But then you kind of, you making that description also made me think of like, what about like a Monster Hunter, like Russeteer or Russeteer or Racketeer? I'm not really sure.
I think it's Racketeer because it's supposed to sound like Racketeer.
Okay.
But
that'd be pretty cool. Or even, you know, take it a little bit further and do like Monster Hunter Moonlighter.
Yes.
And so like you've got like a Monster Hunter roguelike, but also like the Racketeer kind of like shop and city building stuff built into that. So you could like be raising the village and like maybe even some like tower defense kind of stuff in there, because you could have like a component where you're getting resources to build up protections in the village.
I'm very much down for this.
And like the hunters that live in the village could come to your shop and you could be selling them like wares and weapons and things that they need to help protect the village. And so that could also like play into it. So you want to make sure that they're buying items and weapons from you, because it's going to affect how difficult it is whenever a monster attacks the village.
The only way I could be more on board with this idea is if you play as a feline.
Play as... Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely you would. That'd be awesome.
It's so sad that they kind of ditched that after Generations, that like they just had like fully playable feline classes with their own skills and equipment. They kind of ditched it.
Yeah, that makes me also think like Dragon Quest, like like slime rocket, like something like that, but for Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
That sounds dope. You saying that reminded me of Dragon Quest Builders, which made me think of a Dragon Quest like Sim City, where you have to like, you're trying to build a, or not Dragon Quest, sorry, but a Monster Hunter Sim City, where you're like building up a village into a like big thriving monster hunting metropolis, but like, you know, an elder dragon will come tear your walls down, or you've got to take care of this issue. And as your city expands into like different habitats, you start encountering like different troublemaking monsters.
So I think I thought of one of the obvious answers that we're overlooking.
What?
A Monster Hunter Diablo like.
Damn. Yeah, that'd be sick.
So you're just like getting all the loot and like doing a lot of crafting and stuff. And you could have like the maps that are randomly generated and you go through them and kill like a bunch of smaller monsters, but then you have like a bigger monster at the end that is like the boss, and it, you know, creates the need to replay those levels so that you can get like the parts to craft better drops from those monsters.
Yeah, and we need a Monster Hunter rhythm game that where you can have remixes of all the Monster Hunter music.
Hey,
and you gotta dance.
Yeah, I do want that, but also Jordan, what about a Monster Hunter Snap?
Oh shit, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That's like my number one now. I would love that.
That would be so good.
It would be extremely good.
Damn. I love that.
That's great. Just like taking pictures of monsters. Yep. Yeah, that sounds great. Now I want to play some more Pokemon Snap. Hey, that new Pokemon Snap DLC looks awesome.
Yes, it does. That's like this week, right?
Yeah, it's really just a free update, actually. It's not even DLC.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's this week. There's like three new areas and like a new path where you can get shrunk down all tiny. I love it.
Very excited.
Great. Me too.
Well,
all right. Well, I guess that's the show.
Yeah. So we want to say thank you for listening. We will hopefully kind of be back on schedule now. Because I don't even know if we mentioned it on here, but you had to get a new mic.
I did.
That was like one of the big delays.
Well, and I had to find a new phone after my phone broke, because we usually call each other over the phone, and I couldn't even call you. So
yeah, it's been a lot of life happening.
It's been great. It's been awesome. Just a lot of cool things.
But we're going to be all right. Everything's okay. We love you. We love you all. I love you, Jordan.
Thanks. Love you too.
It didn't feel like you meant it. Say it like you mean it.
I love you.
Okay. I think you meant that one. I'll give it to you. But yeah, I hope you guys are all doing well. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We want to say thank you to, I hope this is still accurate. I think I have this right. I want to say thank you to Hyper Potions for letting us use their song Time Trials for the opening. Is that's the opening, right?
Yep.
Okay. And we want to say thank you to Sound Market for Hut by the River, for letting us use their song Hut by the River for
and
our
for making
outro.
It. I like that remix a lot. So just thanks for making it in general.
Yeah, it good. It's a,
he's also,
it's a very
he's also
good
got
one.
A really good Bomberman remix I will still listen to all the time. More Bomberman 64 remixes, please.
More Bomberman in general.
More
please.
Bomberman 64 in particular.
Yes. We should play that sometime.
Yeah.
Alright. Thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.
Bye.